pointed out. Government schooling is inevitably an exercise in statist brainwashing, not genuine education. And it is hardly moral for a large gang government to legally rob one segment of the population, keep most of the loot, and share a little of it with various needy individuals. Socialists want to play God, Bastiat observed, anticipating all the future tyrants and despots of the world who would try to remake the world in their image, whether that image would be communism, fascism, the glorious union, or global democracy. Bastiat also observed that socialists wanted forced conformity, rigid regimentation of the population through pervasive regulation, forced equality of wealth, and dictatorship. As such, they were the mortal enemies of liberty. Dictatorship need not involve an actual dictator. All that was needed, said Bastiat, was the laws enacted by a Congress or a Parliament that would achieve the same effect, forced conformity. Bastiat was also wise to point out that the world has far too many great men, fathers of their countries, and so forth, who in reality are usually nothing but petty tyrants with a sick and compulsive desire to rule over others. The defenders of the free society should have a healthy disrespect for all such men. Bastiat admired America and pointed to the America of 1850 as being as close as any society in the world to his ideal of a government that protected individual rights to life, liberty, and property. There were two major exceptions, however, the twin evils of slavery and protectionist tariffs. Frederick Bastiat died on Christmas Eve, 1850, and did not live to observe the convulsions that the America he admired so much would go through in the next 15 years and longer. It is unlikely that he would have considered the U.S. government's military invasion of the southern states in 1861, the killing of some 300,000 citizens, and the bombing, burning, and plundering of the region's cities, towns, farms, and businesses as being consistent in any way with the protection of the lives, liberties, and properties of those citizens as promised by the Declaration of Independence. Had he lived to see all of this, he most likely would have added legal murder to legal plunder as one of the two great sins of government. He would likely have viewed the post-war Republican Party with its 50% average tariff rates, its massive corporate welfare schemes, and its 25-year campaign of genocide against the Plains Indians as first-rate plunderers and traitors to the American ideal. In the latter pages of The Law, Bastiat offers the sage advice that what was really needed was a science of economics that would explain the harmony, or lack thereof, of a free society, as opposed to socialism. He made a major contribution to this end himself with the publication of his book, Economic Harmonies, which can be construed as a precursor to the modern literature of the Austrian School of Economics. There is no substitute for a solid understanding of the market order and of the realities of politics when it comes to combating the kinds of destructive socialistic schemes that plagued Bastiat's day as well as ours. Anyone who reads this great essay along with other free market classics such as Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson and Murray Rothbard's Power in Market will possess enough intellectual ammunition to debunk the socialist fantasies of this or any other day. Thomas J. DiLorenzo, May 2007. The law. The law perverted. The law, and in its wake all the collective forces of the nation. The law, I say, not only diverted from its proper direction, but made to pursue one entirely contrary. The law, become the tool of every kind of